Yeah, what's up, guys? We are live with another episode of We Need to Talk, man. Welcome back, and thank you guys for joining me another week. If you guys are enjoying the conversation, please make sure you guys subscribe. Subscribe via Apple Music Podcast, Spotify Podcast, Amazon Podcast. However you guys are listening to the podcast, please subscribe, leave a comment, give your sis 5 stars, or even on YouTube, please make sure you guys subscribe. I'm growing this thing one day at a time, but yeah, I'm super excited about it. You know, this is my baby. This is my project. And I'm excited about the guests that I have for you guys today. The one and only Jason Lee will be in the building. And to be honest, you know, I was a little nervous to meet him. I've heard good things. I've heard bad things, you know, but I like to take people for, you know, face value and from my experience as opposed to what other people may have experienced. But got to say, nothing but good vibes. And I actually learned a lot from him. So I'm looking forward to getting into that interview. But before we do that, I definitely want to touch on some of the music that dropped that I have currently been listening to. Heavy rotation for me. And I feel like, you know, it should be heavy rotation for you as well. I got to start with Little Sim. She dropped a new project called No Thank You. Now, we haven't heard from her in about 2 years. I think the last time she dropped the project was 2020, and that project was phenomenal. Definitely one of the best projects to drop in 2020, if not the best project to drop in 2020. But she's back again, and my favorite record on her new project is called Gorilla. I'm going to give you a little taste of it. Here it is right here.
Sim Simmer, who got the keys to my blood clot bimmer? Big time driller, monkey to gorilla. Who is this woman that I'm seeing in the mirror? Drink 42 and smoke cigar. Name one time where I didn't deliver. Silent figure, I was just on the ends dropping gems with my friends. I got a 3310 and a pack of blems. Then got the gold, full black, circle back again.
Rapping now when- that's glow. I'm about to say Glorilla. That's Gorilla by Little Sims. One more record that I want to get into with you guys. I'm not going to do too much talking like I did last week. Simply because I just don't really have much to share. I don't have any like amazing stories like I did last week in regards to Ghana. But you know what? Actually, speaking of Ghana, I would like to say that playlist I made, Dear Charlie, got so much negative feedback. Well, it got a lot of positive also, so let me not do that. But there were a handful of people out of the people who were making comments that were complaining about the lack of Ghanaian artists on the Ghana playlist, even though in the caption I said, "Hey guys, I am new to the genre. These are the songs that I heard the most and liked while I was in Ghana. So if you guys have any suggestion, please put me on." Instead of putting suggestions, people complained. Or they complained and then added suggestions. And it's just like, you know, this is the problem with niggas. I hate to say it, but this is the problem with niggas. You know, it's like, yo, I literally just told you guys I'm new here. So treat me as such, you know. And it's not like I'm being ignorant about it. And I feel like it was ignorant for people to even comment anything negative about it since I put that disclaimer. But that's kind of like somebody coming over to America and then they shazam a Drake song and a Tory Lanez record, and then we're being like, they're not even from here. It's like, I would expect those artists to be picked up because they are one of the biggest artists in the genre currently, so it's no surprise. But anyway, I want to get into another record. You guys know me, if you do know me, I love two things. I love R&B and I love rap. All right, enough of that. Before we get into the interview, though, there's one other record I wanted to put you guys on to. Today, I'm in my rap bag for real, okay? So we had Little Sims. She's out in the UK. And then another artist I want to put you guys on to is an artist named Ruben Vincent. If you guys aren't already tapped in with, definitely time to tap in. He signed with Roc Nation last year. And he just put out a new record featuring Domani. And the record is called Trickin', and they use like a Cat Williams sample. It's pretty nuts. Here it is.
Was it something that she did that was wrong, or maybe this was just the boy intentions all along? Can't
trick her, that's just wrong.
Hey, so that's Trickin' by Ruben Vincent, straight out of Carolina. Yo, I have a lot of high hopes for Ruben, man. He's really smart and really dope with the pen, man. So I'm a fan. Anywho, not to get into a rabbit hole, I just gotta make sure I do my part as a DJ and your friend and keep you up to date with what's hot, what's the latest. In the meantime, though, let's get into the main attraction for today's show. I have a very special guest in the building, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Lee. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you.
As somebody who is a multi-hyphenated person in media, you are somebody that I have to give flowers to because you have came a very long way.
Thank you.
And you're killing it.
Thank you. I love New York media. Somebody told me that yesterday, and I appreciate that because I didn't get into this business for accolades or any of that, but I mean, yeah, you got to put some respect on the work that I've done.
I do just want to talk about, I watched your preview of the show, The Jason Lee Show.
Yeah.
And I saw how you paid homage to all the people who inspired you, mm-hmm. like Wendy Williams, Angie Martinez, you even mentioned.
Charlamagne. Yeah.
You mentioned a lot of people. But out of that, you said that Wendy Williams was your favorite.
Yeah, of course.
And it's strictly because of the tea?
I mean, not just because of the tea. Look at what she created. She created a space for, first of all, what black women in radio were there when Wendy Williams was on the air? I mean, that you can think of. I can't. Not that we're doing it in a way that penetrated through mainstream or through a lot of what the guys in hip hop were doing. So she paved her own way. She created her own lane. She fought through, you know, the different issues that we saw play out in her documentary or whatever that was on Lifetime. And then, you know, to be able to see her go from there and then transition to television, still take some of that old radio flair, but, you know, zhuzh it up for white women in Central America who can digest the how you doing, but we know what that was. And then to spend 13 years at the top and not be given her flowers by mainstream was kind of sad. So I always give her flowers. When she got her start in Hollywood, I threw her a private dinner and I invited Jason Derulo and Nick Cannon, Larsa Pippen, a bunch of different people. And then I got her booked in West Hollywood at a gay club so the gays could celebrate Wendy because she never goes out and touches the people that way. And so we were able to give her flowers. And I always send her flowers to her house and to her studio because I always wanted her to know that somebody actually appreciated her contribution to culture. Now, like me, she gets attacked by a lot of people because when you have an opinion, and sometimes when that opinion is as colored or animated as hers has been or mine has been, you get attacked. But I only attribute that to real being rare these days. And I try to just be authentic and say what I think. And it saves us all time when you know where I'm coming from or what you know what I think. And I'm only one opinion, and there's a lot of people that agree or disagree, and either way, I don't care.
What I was going to ask you within that is, after seeing how people responded to Wendy, and I know you also have a reputation that's similar, uh-huh. like, are you afraid in any way?
What's my reputation?
Your reputation for being messy.
Tell me. Is that
for being
really?
Messy.
So give me one example of when I've been messy.
Like the Karen Civil situation?
What was messy? She paid an underage hacker to take out my business. Okay. Hold on, let me finish. She paid an underage hacker to take out my business as a black entrepreneur who employed several other young black girls who wanted to follow their dreams like you are. And because she attacked that business, they could have then become unemployed. But I was just too much of a boss, and I bossed up and protected my business, and I chose to speak out. See, the industry will punk you into submission and make you afraid to advocate for yourself. But when you own your own platform and when you own your own voice and control your own voice and however you choose to voice what you feel, that then gives you a certain level of freedom to be honest, aka messy. And people can't handle the truth. I never start a fight. I never attack anybody first, but I always tell everybody, I will absolutely box you up and bury you if you try me. And they try me sometimes, and then I have to go there and show the world that, you know, I still got that flair.
I guess you're right. It's not messy, it's honest.
I think so. But my delivery, I will say, in all fairness, I have learned as I mature that, you know, your delivery can turn some people off to listening and understanding your message. So I've tried to, you know, I've coined this whole thing of sipping more cappuccino and less tea. But either way, you know, it's hot. It could burn your tongue either way. Cappuccino or tea, it could burn your tongue.
It is, but it's a little more digestible, you know.
Yeah.
So what was the turning point in you sipping more cappuccino?
Kevin Hart. We had lunch one day, and he said, "Hey, man," he said, "Man, you crazy?" I said, "No, I'm not crazy. I'm honest." And in the context of what we were talking about, I was a little crazy honest, you know. But he said, "You know, you really are smart and have a lot of potential to like talk to the biggest celebrities in the world. You just can't scare the shit out of them, you know. Why don't you sip more cappuccino and less tea, you know. And I thought about it, and I started thinking about the evolution of my career and where I want to be. You know, my passion is Hollywood Unlocked, but my purpose is really helping the kids that look like me from communities that I grew up in to be able to have access to an industry that won't necessarily roll out the red carpet for them. And so in order to really be able to do that, I understood that, you know, I needed to get those bigger moments and those bigger conversations that will allow me to leverage those audiences, right? And, you know, plus I'm 45 years old now, you know, some of that low vibrational commentary is, you know, that's for the people who want to do that. I just don't want to do it. I've never not been outside as a result of my job. Like, I'm outside all the time. So I still give my, I can give my opinion on something and go right to a party and that person could be in the room. And that actually happened once, matter of fact. I had Lil Mama, I invited her on my show. She didn't come. She, because we didn't send her a black car, agreed to do her glam. I don't know who she needed glam up for. But either way, we didn't do that. So I didn't do that, and she didn't come on my show. So what I did was I took a picture of her from the Breakfast Club where she was crying, and I taped it on a chair, and I interviewed the chair for an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, later that night, I went to a party, and she was at the party, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry I could come. I was like, girl, don't worry about it. The show was fire today. You know, I didn't tell her that she was still the show. So, but whatever. But, no, I mean, I'm at a point in my career now where now that I've gotten the industry's attention, now that I know how to get my content circulated in mainstream and urban or whatever you call that, you know, our media and their media. Now that I have established my voice and people know who I am and what I'm about, now I can, you know, soften up just a little bit, but I'm not going to give my edge.
So, like you said, you want to, now you're in a career where you want to help put other people in places. And I see you have the multimedia company where you're training people and teaching people. What is it that, if somebody like me was to sign up for the class, what was it that I would learn and gain from it?
Well, I mean, you already have your interviewing skills and you already have style. Charlamagne, tell me about your style today. What did he say? He said you were fly. He said you were fashionable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. But I think what you would learn is the business, because there's entertainment and there's business. You could be highly entertaining and just fuck off your business, or you would not know how to handle your business, how to protect your IP. You know, I was saying to somebody yesterday on a podcast that if I had to do a new book, it'd be called The Holdout, because I was able to hold out for the right deals and continue main ownership. So MediaMillionaires.com was really something that when I started thinking about the passion I have of Hollywood Unlocked, I started thinking about more about the purpose that I talked about a minute ago. And what I've learned on this journey is that, one, nobody really wants to help each other when we look like each other. Like, we always feel like there's this crab in a barrel mentality. Like, if you get on and I get on, somehow the pie gets smaller for me when it gets bigger for you. I've never believed that, because what's for you is for you and what's for me is for me. But it was meeting Queen Latifah 30 years ago, and then later on in the maturation of our relationship, she said to me, one day you need to be able to do for somebody what I did for you. And what she did for me was give me hope. And what I believe is that to whom much is given, much is required. So it doesn't, you know, one, it doesn't take anything away from me to do it. And two, I can still make a whole bunch more money educating people. So I'm not giving the courses away. I'm offering them for the low. But you would learn how to control and protect your IP, how to leverage your contacts, how to start and form the business, how to network, which people would think, well, why is networking important? Relationships are more valuable than money. You can give me $1 million today or give me access to, you know, who you just think, Robert Smith, the richest black billionaire in the country. Mm-hmm. Which would you have? I'd rather take the relationship with Robert Smith.
Absolutely.
So I teach people all of that. And also, like, the power in saying no and the power of no. The power of no and the power in no. So people have to learn that.
Yeah, understandable. Yeah. I feel like, and this is me being vulnerable, sometimes I feel like, for my lane is not necessarily tea. I like focused on, I'm a DJ obviously, and I'm more so focused on music, and I feel like it's harder to cut through when you're not focusing on tea.
That's fair. And I will say, who's to blame in that, the audience or the creators? And you know, that's the conversation that we always have all the time, because when I first started this business, I didn't want to get in the tea. I can roll around with the pigs better than the pigs can roll with the pigs. I know how to, like I said yesterday, you will never outshade a homosexual. We can read you for filth. We can read you because the church, we got that lane controlled. But you know what? I never wanted to do that, because that's just, that energy creates something that just doesn't feel good all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know what's so crazy is the publicists and those companies, they see the numbers that gets, and they tend to send their talent there to get the numbers, but then don't want them to get in the dirt with the pigs. But it is what it is. What I would say is that Carisha Please has done a really good job. Carisha, even though she's a celebrity, so she's going to get the bookings easier than you would, or maybe even that I would, right? Because she can call up her friends. And they get on there and do all the messy stuff that they would say I'm being messy for. I could say as a DJ or somebody in music, you could still cut through the T by creating games that drive them to be messy without you being messy. Mm. You know, make them the messy people. I try to put out content on Hollywood Unlocked in an unbiased way, but I know it's going to create a lot of conversation and the comments be
the
messy.
The comment section is terrible.
Then celebrities get mad at me for the comments. I'm like, if I put me on there, they call me all types of names too. So, you know, the comments, that's a world all
your comment section loves you though.
No, not all the time. Mm-mm, no.
I literally read the comment section yesterday. Well, it was the one on YouTube, Hollywood Unlocked YouTube.
But I think they're proud of me now because they're proud of seeing the evolution. Yeah, but the minute that show hits and I give an opinion, or if I, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, if I don't ask these questions, I will get drugged for filth because they expect me to ask the hard questions. Yeah. You know, but now I'm trying to try my best to ask the hard questions in a way that still offers compassion, but is just as honest as possible. And unless somebody acts so crazy on my show or does something really crazy, they're going to have a great experience. Mm. Yeah.
I like the cappuccino on you, you know?
Yeah. I have to give Kevin Hart that because he did, the way he framed it was, because oftentimes when you are in the business of being honest or being blunt, people do try to change you. I've had people come to my house and say, hey, you can get millions of dollars if you just change this or you just... And I'm like, you basically just said, if you just completely become a different person, you can make millions and millions of dollars. Well, I've made millions of dollars being me.
It works for you, but I think not everybody has that personality, but there's a lot of people who put on the shock jock personality to win.
Yeah.
So that's like the double-edged sword to it, I feel.
Yeah, that's like when you see some of these white women with these big old lips, like, you ain't no, that ain't no melanin. That's some bullshit you ain't got pumped up down the street. Now you pumped and dumped.
I wanted to ask you, what is it like being Cardi B's best friend?
I love her. She's more like a sister, though. At this point, she's more like a sister. And we talk about it on the show airs Tuesday, January 17th on Revolt. You know, I will be honest, and I haven't said this yet. Interviewing Cardi was actually, it was enjoyable, but at first, the idea of doing it was really, really hard because what do you ask a person who you talk to five times a day?
Right.
You know, somebody who in all her vulnerable moments, you've had the conversation. And when everybody's attacked her online, I've had to be there as a friend to support her through it because I really believe that people hate her because she's so successful and likable. Mm-hmm. And I also have been frustrated that when people have attacked her for no reason, or even if they had a reason, but the way they've done it and the volume of in which they did it, it's really changed how she would entertain
interact,
the world.
Yes.
You know, how she'd be on social media saying stuff mm-hmm. while she's in glamour doing things that would make us laugh throughout the days. Like, she doesn't really do that anymore because of social media.
Yeah.
But I will say I was nervous because I really didn't know, like, okay, I'm going to ask her all these questions, but I know most of the answers. When I got to the interview, I said, you know what, I'm going to just do what we do on FaceTime. We're just going to have a good time. And we did, and we asked all the hard questions, and she answered them.
She was honest.
Very.
I love that.
But she's also very polished now, too. Like, she's, I was looking at her like, she's a superstar. I mean, I know she's Cardi B, but I was just really proud of her because of how far she's come. I interviewed her before Bodak Yellow, and that was the only second time I've interviewed her because, I haven't talked to her in like on camera in probably like 6-7 years.
Nice.
6 years.
I'm excited about that. What are some other guests that you have coming on the show?
Well, so far we've interviewed Remy Ma and Hitman Holla together and talking about battle rapping and different things. And Remy flew out to host my premiere party. Yeah. I love Remy. We've had... Go ahead.
All right, so let's talk about it, right? Because you're best friends with Cardi. How did you feel about the whole prison pants, you know, Twitter icons changing?
I asked Remy about that. Ask me about that. I think I asked him about that. I can't remember. What did I think about it? Well, when that all went down, I was on the phone with Cardi and I was on the phone with JT, you know, trying to piece it up. Because, again, like, I really feel like people know that Cardi is the blueprint to create conflict with if you want to be talked about. Mm. Because if you create a fight with Cardi, she's going to respond to you. And when she responds, even if you have 10 million followers, she has 148 million followers.
Yeah.
148 million, that's more than, I think that may be more than the president. You know what I mean? And so when Cardi talks, the needle moves, and people are aware of that. And she's been a part of a lot of people's marketing plan. I'm not saying that was JT's thing. I don't know what all that was about, but they had their little back and forth, and I got on the phone with both. and, you know, help
you
them
three-way
to
three-way them?
No. Oh, I three-wayed Cardi and Madonna. I didn't three-way Cardi and JT. But I just talked to both, you know, because I think JT felt... A lot of people automatically assume that anytime Cardi has a beef, I have a beef. I don't own Cardi's beefs, and she don't own my beefs. We're friends, but I have a career and a job to do. I don't get on the stage and rap, and I don't have a WAP. Don't want a WAP. I have what I have, but what I do have is the tea. And I say what I think, and I don't. She don't defend it, and I don't defend what she does. But I do look out for her when I see, if I do have a relationship with somebody, and I can get on the phone and kind of quickly, you know, get them on track. I will help because I grew up in an era where female hip hop was more inclusive and supportive, and they worked together. And now it's just very much like it's literally the strip club.
Did you see when Hitmaker posted and was like, "I'm looking for a new girl that's not talking about, you know, popping pussy"?
Yeah.
Did you agree?
I like Hitmaker, and Hitmaker's a friend of mine, but I don't think that any man should talk about a woman's pussy. I don't, whether it's in music, whether it's in what they do with it, and how, or if they have abortions or not. Like, to me, men shouldn't have that conversation. I like what he's saying, though, in terms of we need to have other women doing other types of music, but that's why now you got the Glorilla. That's why you got Lola. That's why you see these new women. And I just said today before I got over here, it's really good to see these women being able to come in now, be in the conversation with the girls that are at the top of this generation in a way that doesn't require them to, not saying that the others are required, but, you know, that they're able to contribute something else to hip hop, which is what, you know, Queen Latifah was doing. Queen Latifah was never, she never sexualized herself, or that was not her thing. That was not MC Light's thing. That was not none of their thing, you know. So to be able to see it now is refreshing.
Queen Latifah's one of my favorites, honestly. So
she's amazing, but she better stop playing with me. Dana, I love you to death. I don't know nothing about this Queen Latifah. Dana, I've been texting her every single update of my show, every promo pic. Remy hosted this. Cardi came on first. This and this and this. And if you really look at my history, I've been very supportive of women in hip hop for years, even though they say, you know, because of different public beefs that I've had or whatever, that I don't like women in hip hop or don't like certain women in hip hop. I love every woman in hip hop from a musical standpoint. I respect all of the women in hip hop, regardless of who they are, but I just can't digest some the ways I can others. But Queen Latifah, Dana Owens, she's somebody that I want on my show for sure, because you're talking about a 30-year relationship with somebody who I've known longer than everybody that I know. So yeah, I think that'd be a full circle moment for me. So
Queen would be really dope. Plus, she just built new developments in Newark.
Did she?
Yeah, housing.
Oh, she did?
Low-income housing.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
She just went on a press run too.
Well, she didn't come to Hollywood. She didn't come to Jason Lee's show.
It was like 2 months ago. Your show just started.
I don't care. Hollywood Unlocked's been here since 2015. Oh. She knows how. She did say the other day, she texted me back, because she's horrible with her phone. My phones are literally right here, and I feel them vibrating. The first thing I'm going to do when I get up is check my phone. The first thing I do when I wake up is I check my phone. The last thing I do before I go to check my phone. She's horrible. So I've been texting her every update, and so finally I saw her on a yacht. Posting something about Happy New Year. So I text her and she goes, I didn't see this. I'm back outside. I'm like, okay, well, if you outside, pull up. It's time to pull up. But this year, my goal,
Queen.
Get Queen on my show.
That'd be dope. Yeah. I really would love to see that. As a DJ, I have to ask, what is it that's in your playlist right now? Who's heavy rotation?
People that ask me about my music, I'm boring. I listen to gospel music.
No.
I swear to God. I listen to gospel music a lot. I listen to Karen Clark Sheard every day. I listen to Pastor Mike right now. I mean, I listen to gospel music, but I mean, let me see, who's in my playlist? Oh, I can't, but I'm weird. I listen to Sam Smith. I listen to Takeoff and Quavo and Takeoff, Hotel Lobby. I mean, what other, I don't know. There's not.
Hotel Lobby was a big record.
I like that record.
So you're so indulged in hip hop, but you don't really listen to it.
I do not listen. I will tell you right now, I do not listen to all of the stuff that's on the radio. No, because first of all, any artist that disrespects Nas, Tupac, or Biggie, you're off the list no matter who you are. That's number one.
What are you talking about?
Some of these young people have come in the game disrespecting the legends. And if you say anything about Jay-Z not being relevant these days, any of that, I'm not even listening to your music.
I feel like the relevancy comment got taken out of context.
No, a couple of them have done it just for shock. Like, I don't want to hear that. Didn't NBA YoungBoy say something?
I think, whose fault is that?
But NBA YoungBoy is so super famous from this generation that, like...
Whose fault is it that they feel like that?
Probably some of the legends they haven't reached back. But, Cardi B don't have a record with Queen Latifah, and she ain't never disrespected her. Think about it. Has Cardi B ever disrespected any female in hip-hop?
Well, none of the ladies really disrespect any of the older ladies in rap.
Has Cardi B disrespected any of the younger rappers in the game? See, I think it's just a selective thing of people who need to get talked about because their music ain't hot enough to be talked about. Mm. People who are successful don't hate on other people's
success. So you really feel like everything is for clout?
They do anything for clout.
I think it's a myth.
You can't hate on Tupac, I think it's Nas, Biggie, or Jay. They're, no matter who you are. I don't care how hot you are. You can't hate on Jay-Z's business acumen on top of the fact that he lays next to the most beautiful woman in the world.
Period.
Every most talented woman every day.
I think some people are just ignorant to it. You know? If you're not hearing it, if we're constantly getting fed Lil Baby, Cardi B, and A Boogie, how are we supposed to know about the importance of Biggie and what the impact it really had, you know, hip-hop-wise?
Yeah, but that's the problem. Black folks need to stop just basing their whole decisions in life off of what they hear. Go do some research. Google. Google.com ain't nothing but a couple minutes. Before you vote, go see what they're talking about. And before you talk about who you're not voting for, do you even know their policies and do you know how that affects your community? You even look at local politics. I get so exhausted with the commentary online. Even on Hollywood Unlocked, when we post shit, I look at the comments. I'm like, y'all motherfuckers is just not making no sense today.
People are dumb.
But your decisions, for example, and I know I don't want to get too heavy into politics, but when Trump pulled the United States out of the climate conversation in the world, do we not understand the impact of climate change and how New York doesn't have any snow on the ground right now? I mean, years ago, you would come to New York and there was snow everywhere, snowing, snow. I remember moving here in the middle of a blizzard, having to wear snow boots and go from this place to this place. I remember going to the club. I was in the gay club. I had thermals, a big old jacket, sweater, everything. Now I'm out here. This is all I'm wearing today in New York City in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Climate change is real. But young people, you just going to keep bumping that little baby and keep on bumping. You don't even bump no more. What do they do? TikTok it. TikTok your way right there into it. Anyway, go ahead. For real.
Y'all don't even bump no more. Y'all go TikTok y'all way.
Y'all are so busy. Young people right now are so busy on social media.
But maybe Hollywood Unlocked should start a TikTok campaign pushing climate change.
You know what? If I did it, it would fuck up the engagement. We would be right back to talking about the latest twerk.
See, that's pain.
So who's the problem? The consumer or the creator? I think it's the consumer. Social media has really changed the landscape of how we digest music and how we celebrate talent and how we share our art. And now you guys on TikTok, I'm blaming you guys because I got TikTok 500 some thousand followers, 600. I don't even be on there. Y'all have scared these artists to the point where they are in the booth figuring out a TikTok dance and theme before they even release a record. And that's why Saweetie did 2,000 records. 2,000.
That's not why Saweetie did 2,000 records.
2,000 listens? Oh, my God. 2,000 downloads? What, Saweetie? No shade, but 2,000. I spent $2,000 on a plane ticket. I don't understand how. I don't understand 2,000. And I'm not even trying to be shady. It's 2,000?
I know.
2,000. That make you not want to do nothing but go right over to TikTok and go, what they listening to?
I feel like Saweetie been a TikTok artist though.
Really?
I like Saweetie, but I think
she just needs to drop singles.
Yeah, she's just like a single based artist. Like I'm not expecting like an in depth.
See, that was shade.
Dope album.
You talking about? Wait, Randy. You talking about? You don't want to. You feel like you don't have to spill tea to do it. That was tea right there. She's
that's
a single
tea,
based
that's
artist.
That's an opinion. I feel like she's a single based artist. Shade. I'm not expecting a phenomenal album from Saweetie. Mm. She doesn't give me that.
What does she give you?
Hits. You give me, I'm in the club, I'm shaking my ass with my friends, you know, right. Buy me a drink type music.
Yeah. Well, if she buys the drink, it can't be a bottle of Ace of Spades because that's more than $2,000.
Yo.
$2,000 is the limit.
You got the shade for the day. You got it. No, all right, you got it. So let's get into you. This is the game. You have to fill in the blank.
No problem.
Okay. Sometimes I look back on my life and blank.
I'm grateful that I made it through.
I made a complete fool of myself when I blinked.
I made a complete fool of myself. You know, I don't really look at anything I've done as foolish. Any mistake I've ever made has been a lesson. I learned from everything. What biggest fool of myself? I can't think of anything. I'm not embarrassed of anything. Like, I don't get embarrassed.
Okay. My personality trait is?
Don't give a fuck.
You would never believe me if I told you.
Rihanna's my baby mama. I mean, not the one that she got now. This is my mama. It's more of a mental place for me. But no, Yeah, I don't know. That's let me think. I remember. Don't believe me if I tell. Oh, one thing I put in my book that I for years never told the story on was that Michael Jackson called me once, and I just felt like because it's one of those things where nobody would really believe that, but over time now people have validated and know that it's true. But yeah, he called me once. That's the one thing I would say.
Called you to say what?
Why I stalked him. I called him every day. I was 15 years old. I wanted to talk to Michael Jackson. I wrote about it in my book, but yeah, I just wanted to meet Michael Jackson. So I called and I built a relationship with his assistant. And I used to call Evie every day. And one day he called me.
Wow. An ideal world would be blank.
Ideal world would be one in which everybody can accept that art is art and cancel culture no longer exists.
I can't believe I actually blanked when I was younger.
Had sex with a woman. I can't believe when I was younger. I can't believe I caught lice. That was probably a disgusting thing.
No.
Yeah, I caught lice in foster care. That shit was trash.
Wow.
Yeah. Lice is literally the most disgusting thing. Well, there was this one time I went to my friend's house and he had given his whole family crabs. Now that was really bad. To have your mom walking around with the crab cream on and spray all the furniture down with the crab medicine. And then here I come to spend the night. I got my blanket and pillow and I walked in and everybody, you know, and these are my friends. They were really, really dark skinned. But they all got this white cream on their bodies. And there's white, they're spraying everything down. And I'm walking like, what's going on? They're like, yo, Ernest. Sorry.
We'll edit. Bye.
Oh, fuck it. Ernest caught crabs. Well, Ernest had given it to the whole family. Mom, the brothers, the whatever. Anyway, so I ended up going home because I could not believe that he had given his whole family crabs.
And you didn't catch it, right?
Hell no.
Okay, good.
I've been very open about any clinic visit that I've had. Let's keep it clean because it's early in the morning. Sheesh.
It's almost noon now. You just had a long day.
I did.
The older I get, the less I
have time for the bullshit. I used to see people say that in interviews, like, I walk in a room now. I can literally walk in a room and see and feel the energy and know I don't want to be there. And I'm also very, very selective of conversations that I have with people because my energy, I absorb people's energy. I absorb it when, like today, I was really tired on the Breakfast Club, but watching Charlamagne and Envy really quick, that warmed me up. I'm very much, if you're sad or down, it just throws off my energy. Even when I do an interview, something people probably don't know because I don't think I've ever talked about it. You can't be moved. Nobody can be moving. There could be no movement. There could be no sound behind the cameras. The other day I was doing an interview and somebody dropped a cap to a camera and it almost just literally drove me crazy because that energy distracted me. Mm-hmm. And that energy, that sound will distract the person I'm interviewing. Their energy will change. I'll see it. It just throws everything off. So I'm very much a person who's big on energy and I absorb it. So I try to control it as much as I can, which is why I keep everybody kind of away.
Understandable. All right. Thank you so much for stopping by. We need to talk.
Listen, keep killing it. Keep doing your thing. And yeah, make sure people tune in to the Jason Lee Show on Revolt. And I want to shout out Diddy real quick because, and for the, you brought up my courses earlier for the aspiring creator. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of fearlessness that has to go into your work. And it doesn't always have to be like the commentary, right? When I knew that when I looked at all the relationships that I had built in the space, I looked at the one person I didn't have a relationship with, and that was Diddy. And I was like, yo, Diddy is a master marketer. I watched him market at Uptown and then over here. I mean, you know, Bad Boy. And I remember that whole Bad Boy era. I know this man knows how to continually code switch and pivot in different industries and in different generations. So I said, I want to work with him. Years ago, me and Queen Latifah, before when I first started Hollywood Unlocked, we went to Revolt and sat down with Andre Harrell to pitch the show, the Jason Lee Show, whatever it was at the time. And I hadn't really put in the work. And I thought, like, yeah, I told Andre Harrell, yeah, I'm going to do this. And he said no. And I was kind of disappointed. But now looking back, I wasn't ready. I hadn't put in the work. I hadn't built the brand. Now having done it, I actually could not get to Puff. I went through all these different people. Lorianne tried. I didn't want to bother his kids with it. And nobody would connect me. So I called somebody and I asked them for Diddy's number and they gave it to me. And I called, text Diddy myself. This long text explaining to him who I was and what I wanted to do and what I was doing and why I wanted to work with him and this and that, why I wanted to go to Revolt and this and whatever. And finally, after about 10 text messages, because I didn't stop, he had his people hit me and then we figured out a deal. And I own the show. And I share in the profit of the show, and I have the full creative freedom to do what I want to do. And he's supportive of that.
Which never happens. Congratulations. Which never happened.
And yeah. But it's a black man with a black man. And that it never happens when it ain't us, because we're too busy selling the culture instead of licensing it out. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to be a sellout and sell the culture. Go. We know what moves the needle. Just work hard. At first, it hurts because you don't really eat. You know, you got to starve a little bit. But if you got that drive and that tenacity and you got that, like, I don't give a fuck, I'm not giving up, I'm going to be in your face. And if you don't want it, I'm going to take a, because I'm going to tell you, iHeart let me go. I told Scott Greenstein yesterday, text him who runs Sirius. I come to Sirius. I tell the people at Spotify, I come to Spotify. Ain't nobody going to get over there and work harder than me. So I think as much as we keep doing that, and hopefully with me doing it, it's showing other people they can do it too, that it's all possible. And it is possible.
Love that. Mm-hmm. I was gonna ask you said this earlier, is that you have to know when to say no.
Yes, you have to know when to have the courage to say no.
What, like, but at what point, I guess, is it not about the look, or it's not about, you know?
I'll give you an example. Right here, I am on Love & Hip Hop. I never thought I'd be on Love & Hip Hop. That was not the vibration of what I was on in real life. Even in my real life, if you ever see me out, or you know me personally, I'm never reading nobody and shady, or looking at what people's doing, or who this, that. I don't care. I'm living my life. I'm playing with my dogs. I'm usually hanging out with some cute guy, or I'm listening to music, or, you know, I'm shopping. I have a shopping addiction. You know, I don't really be in the tea like that. For my business, I know how to turn it on. So when I got on Love & Hip Hop and I saw the reaction, first of all, when I saw myself on TV, I was like, I don't like that. So I created a podcast so people could hear me and see me in my own unedited, unfiltered, controlled environment. When people start seeing me, there started a conversation being like, "Which one is it?" So then I got on Wildin' Out. So then you could start to say, well, he over here on Wildin' Out cracking jokes, and he funny over here, and this person like him, and this person like him. So I started, my whole thing on Love & Hip Hop just started not seeming like it had a place anymore, because it just, now you know I'm just doing it because of the look and the audience, right? So I left Love & Hip Hop because I was over that. And then I had this whole revelation that I was going through, kind of examining my life, and I wanted to write a book. And when I started writing the book, the thought was, God must have forgotten about me, because most people think, like, when you're going through, like, come on, God, I need a break. We all think ain't nobody looking out for us, right? Until you realize, like, he's putting you through stuff to show you how strong you are. So I wrote the book, and as I started writing the book, I knew there was no way I could go back and Love & Hip Hop, because now this won't make any sense. They approached me and said, we really want you back. We'll give you all this money. I said, the only way I can come back is if I could tell my story, if I can share my stories in my book, my relationship with my family, and humanize me to where I don't look like an emotionless tree. They said, okay. I went back for one more season, did that, had a great season, and then I walked away. And then I realized that check wasn't important, that look wasn't important, but by then I was now on The Wendy Show. Right. So I was getting that look. So I replaced that look with The Wendy Show, which was more my indigenation. Okay, now I'm in my lane. Then the radio show, I went to Breakfast Club, iHeart saw me, they were like, why don't you do a syndicated radio show? Okay, boom, now I got that look. So I just used every look to leverage another look, and always in my mind understood that, like, I am not the sum of one mistake, so I can always pivot and fix something if I'm focused on the strategy of it all. And every move was strategic. Every length of time at a place was strategic. I wanted to leave iHeart 1 year into my relationship, but I felt like 1 year could look like a failure. So why don't we wait until we get a couple more markets? We went from 52 to 72. We stayed at number one. I had all that data. So for me, it was more about collecting the data, showing how I took a show that had no rating to the number one show across the country, becoming the first urban black syndicated, nationally syndicated gay person on the radio.
Sheesh.
And so, so it was like, it all has to make sense. Like, I don't ever do nothing just to be doing it. Like, I do it. But, you know, if you do it, you get a good look, you get enough of that good look. Whenever you believe you have enough of that look, then it's time for you to move on. No matter how scary it is.
It's a scary ass step, not gonna lie.
The scariest, most important decision you ever make, though.
Ooh, salute to Jason Lee for stopping by and chopping it up for me, man. I've really enjoyed that conversation. I thought it was very insightful. You know, I'm always just curious about what other creatives go through, and just hearing their stories and seeing how far they come, definitely inspiring to me. And I would say the two biggest takeaways I took from this interview was less tea and more cappuccino, for sure. You know, shout out to Kevin Hart for that. That was a great piece of advice that he gave Jason Lee, and honestly, I would run with myself. I like that. I'm gonna tell my friends that, like, you know what? If you're calling me for some tea, I don't drink that no more. I'm a cappuccino type of chick, okay? And I love that. And then I just love how we ended the interview with the most scariest, most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And you know, I feel like for 2023, I'm not trying to live in fear. So, you know, whatever steps got to be taken in any direction that I have to take, I'm going to take it to get to where I'm going. And I hope that you guys all do that as well. And, you know, a step that I hope you guys take is to make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast. If you guys like what you're hearing, please subscribe, share, like, tell a friend, and help me grow my channel, my page, my podcast. I appreciate you guys for listening. And then also, guys, I included on the link tree on Instagram a little like comment section feedback thing. So, you know, just type in your email and then leave whatever comment you guys want to leave. If you guys have any questions that you want to ask me, please ask me. And also, I have Lola Brooks coming on next week. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask Lola, you can ask them there, and I'll make sure to let her know your question. Until next time, guys, until the next time we talk. Peace.